morning, church. Buenos días. So today we're going to continue learning from Jesus' parables, Matthew 13, 31 to 34. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Even though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So this is a very powerful statement again and again, that Jesus always uses stories to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom, but also the fact that he only explained the parables deeper to his disciples, acknowledging that the kingdom of heaven is given to those who receive him. So when we reflect on this, today we're going to talk about the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, and the idea that when we think about the kingdom of God, we have to shift and turn all these teachings upside down, because in the world, when we talk about success and we talk about victories, we always think about big numbers, impressive. It has to be big, impressive, celebrate, fanfare, grandeur, all of that. In the kingdom of God is the opposite. God is teaching us through the parables that everything starts small, like the mustard seed or the leaven. However, the impact is great. So when we come to the kingdom of God, we have to really understand that God is always moving, and we should not despise small beginnings and pay attention to what God is doing around us, because God is always moving. God is always talking. We are the ones who need to start paying attention. So this idea of understanding that size is not important in the kingdom of God, what is important in the kingdom of God is the plan of God. Believing that regardless what is going on today in your life, God has a plan. How many of you believe that? He has a plan, he has a purpose. So regardless of what is going on, he's still investing, and things are about to be revealed, so that we understand what is about to do in our midst. Even though we don't understand what is happening, we are called to have faith and believe that at the end, God will reveal what the plan is. However, we need to understand the scriptures and understand who God is, so we don't use bad theology or a bad understanding, unhealthy understanding of who God is to interpret our reality, because that will kill our faith. And God wants us to be ready and to rest in him and wait on him. So now, these two parables bring two approaches to the kingdom of God. One is through the mustard seed, representing the outward work of the kingdom. And then you have the leaven, which signifies the inward transformative power of the kingdom. So when we see the kingdom of God is working both outside but also inside, Jesus promised us that it was better for us that he will go back to the Father, so that he can send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be upon us, will be in us and with us. And when we understand that, it's just this combination of action and the Holy Spirit work first with us and in us and then upon us as we witness and testify about the kingdom. So after the cross and after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, the kingdom of God came upon us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're saying that where the Holy Spirit moves and where the Holy Spirit is present, the kingdom of God is there. where the word of God is preached, the kingdom of God is there. So when Jesus was teaching the disciples before the crucifixion, saying the Holy Spirit will be and he is with you and in you, it means that when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will be in you. But before that, the Holy Spirit is also with you. So since the moment you are born, and even in the understanding that since the moment you are born, the Holy Spirit is working with you, testifying to you that God is real, that God is alive. And the more you are seduced by the Spirit, the more you are attracted to something bigger and greater than you, you begin to realize that God is real and he sent his Son. The moment you receive Jesus, now the Holy Spirit is in you. And after the resurrection, and you believe the scriptures, and you decide, I'm going to share the gospel, I'm going to preach the gospel, and as I do that, now the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so you are ready to preach the gospel to the nations. So it's powerful to see how the kingdom of God is working. So Jesus is teaching us to pay attention to all this work of the kingdom. The mustard seed first. It's this idea that when we talk about these two parables, many words come to reveal what Jesus is talking about. One is time, so meaning that it takes time for a seed to grow. It takes time for the leaven to work. The kingdom of God is a process. It's not a quick turnaround of things. It's not microwave kingdom. No, it takes time. Right? And we want to grow churches and we want to grow everything in a minute. That's not the way it works. So even though I understand church growth seminars and that's awesome, the reality is that no one has control on how the kingdom of God is going to work. Only Jesus and only the Holy Spirit can do that. Right? So when you go to a church seminar, doesn't matter how confident the person who is teaching the seminar is, you know that there is only way, the only way a church will grow if the Holy Spirit show up. Do you understand that? All these strategies and stuff, awesome. But without the Holy Spirit, this is a club. This is not a church. So it's important that we receive that and believe it, because the arrogance that we have to say, three steps and your church will grow. Make a bigger sanctuary, grow the parking lot, change the colors, change the logo, and kabunga, you have a church. Good luck. That's not the way it works. You may have people in the building. That doesn't mean it's a church. Okay? So this idea of the kingdom is that we don't have control. That's why Jesus is using all these agricultural examples. So we open our eyes to see that we cannot control the sun, we cannot control the rain, we cannot control the birds, we cannot control the trees. Guess what? We have to trust God. And as we trust God, our eyes are open. Now we believe. Now we invite the Holy Spirit. Now we wait on the Lord and he will do things. So we collaborate with God the same way the farmer collaborates with God to bring up a harvest. But a farmer cannot control the harvest. And these ideas, Jesus is using all these teachings to say, do not despise the small beginnings. I see Jesus launching his ministry. First, a baby is born in a manger. This baby grows up. Now he has disciples. The disciples go out and preach the gospel. Now we have this nation called Israel. And then you have all these nations believing in the gospel. And now you have in the book of Revelation all these nations worshiping God. That's what Jesus was talking about, that we have to take into consideration the fact that one day every tribe and every nation on earth will worship the Messiah. And as we understand that Jesus was teaching in a context where the Roman Empire was growing and taking and sweeping the earth, and Jesus is saying, do not be deceived. My beginnings are small, but wait, it will be bigger than what you know, bigger than what you see. And now we see, 2,000 years later, here we are, which is another testimony that Jesus is God, that Jesus came back from the dead. And when people ask you why you are a Christian, why do you believe? You have to say, I believe because Jesus came back from the dead. That's the biggest miracle that happens on earth. Jesus came back from the dead. And when he came back from the dead, he validated, he affirmed and revealed everything he said now is true, which is different with any religion in the world. I believe Jesus because he came back from the dead. If I have a question about what happened after death, I'm going to ask the person who came back. I'm not going to ask a dead person, because if you do that, that's witchcraft, consulting the dead, right? Jesus is alive. That's why we believe in Jesus. And when he declares that he's the Son of God, that there is going to be a resurrection, that we need to repent because the kingdom of God has come near, I believe that because the guy came back from the dead and he's alive. He's alive. So we believers have to embrace this understanding and embrace that God is calling us to do this. Now, if you look back to the Old Testament, you're going to see that God really loved to do things with small beginnings, with small numbers. So we have in Genesis 12, God called Abraham. He was around 70 years old when he called him and promised him, I'm going to make a nation out of you. The guy is 70. Hello? And you can laugh because he says, how God is going to create a nation out of 70, out of a guy who's 70, and then his wife Sarah. And not only that, the promise, the actual promise, the birth of Isaac happens in Genesis 21. And then in Genesis 22, God is asking him, give me your son, the one who's supposed to create the nation. Let's kill it. Okay? And not only that, they were already 90 years old when Isaac was born. It's amazing what God does. And then you have Isaac and you have Jacob, and then they became one person, two person, a family, a tribe, a nation, nations. So we have to really embrace this promise in Zechariah 4. Do not despise the small beginnings. Every action we take, everything we see, God is moving. God is always on the move. We need to open our eyes to see that God is real. He's taking action. And the action is real. Even though it's small, pay attention to every small thought, every single action you take or you do, because it will reproduce in a bigger harvest. Now, let's reflect on the characteristics of the mustard seed. One characteristic is ultra resistant, which means that you can burn it, you can step into it, you can do it. It remains, and it's not easy to break. So when Jesus is using this idea of the kingdom of God as the mustard seed, he's saying the kingdom of God is coming, and the kingdom of God, doesn't matter what you do, you will not be able to stop it. Humanity would not be able to stop it. And the Bible has been burned, and the churches burned, and persecutions, and still we're here 2,000 years later. It's also the fact that it grows quickly and becomes a large tree. And this seed is important, and people, we are always looking for, instead of paying attention to what Jesus is teaching, the revelation of the kingdom, we are always looking for things to question that, because when you don't want to believe, you are looking for things to justify your unbelief. So people begin to say, well, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world. So Jesus made a mistake there. Hello? Are you serious? This is not a botany book. If you want a botany book, go to high school, okay? That's what you happen. But the reality is, Jesus was not talking about the smallest seed in the whole world. Jesus is speaking to an audience of farmers. In his audience in Palestine, that's the seed, that's the smallest seed that becomes a tree. Are other seeds that are small, but not all those seeds become trees. Hello? So Jesus is talking to an audience, farmers, agricultural society. They understand. Do you think that if he says something like this, someone will show up and say, that's not true? No. Silence. Because they know what he's talking about. If you go to Israel, you're going in mustard seeds and trees all over the place. It's easy. Jesus was referring to things that people can relate. The picture here is, it's going to start small, but wait, it will grow. That's the idea. see, pay attention, look around. It will come. Before you know it, it will happen. And the last one is the mustard seed cannot be hybridized, meaning you cannot mix it with other things, which is a call that the kingdom of God has to be pure. The message has to be pure. Our faith needs to be pure. We cannot mix the gospel with other things and call it gospel, and call motivation speaking the gospel of God. That's not the gospel. Motivation is awesome. You go and you live excited because everything is based on humanity and our strengths, our skills, our knowledge, our words, our capacity to communicate. That's motivation. The gospel is all about God and about you and I repenting of our sins, believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and me. And if anyone preach another gospel and you are there, wrong. Because that's what God wants you to understand and embrace, the true gospel, that Jesus died on the cross, that he's coming back again, that he's going to judge us. That's the gospel. Everything else, my friends, is 3 steps to be happy, 5 steps to fix your marriage, 5 steps to grow your money and be prosperous, 2 steps to forgive people. What is this? This is not cha-cha-cha. This is not cha-cha-cha. It's the kingdom of God. This is the teaching, 66 books. There is no such a thing as 1, 2, 3 results. 1, 2, 3 results. That's witchcraft. Why? We serve a guy who is a person who has his own will. He's not submitting to us. We are called to submit ourselves to him. You cannot order God to do things. He's the one who decides how and when and the process. And the time and when. We cannot give orders. The only one we can give orders is to Satan. We can say to Satan, I rebuke in the name of Jesus, leave. And he has to do that. That's why when you go and you practice witchcraft, they say to you, do this, do this, do this, and you have the results. Guess what? You do it, and if the witchcraft priest is a good one, sometimes, and most of the times, you have the results. Why? Witchcraft. 1, 2, 3 results. 1, 2, 3 results. Not with God. With God you do 1, 2, 3, and he says, no, now. That's not good for you. I'm not going to give it to you. Cry all you want. I'm not going to give it to you. Not right now. That's God. You cannot give him orders. He will not give you something that he knows will affect you and kill you. He will not give you something that he knows you're not ready to process, to absorb, to execute. He waits until you are ready, until I am ready. And then he says, now. And when he says now, even if you are not praying, even if you're not fasting, even if you're not coming to the church, boom, kabunga, it happens. I don't know if that I'm the only one here. But have you noticed that sometimes you are praying for things and you fast and you talk about it and you cry and you talk about it and you read the Bible and you worship and nothing happens, and then you say, ah, he's not going to do it. And then one day you are driving and you got the phone call. Boom, what you were asking happens. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it's not about praying and crying. That's part of the process. But he decides what is best for you and for me. And if you are a child of the living God, you have to accept the process. Stop this nonsense of microwave kingdom. It doesn't happen. It will not happen. So God wants us to be challenged, to understand. And in this teaching, Mark 4:26, he's teaching, before he teach about the parable of the mustard seed, he's saying, now the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter a seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and then it produces a blade and a ear, and then grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. This is the teaching about patience, about having no control. When the harvest is coming, it's there. But before that, it says that the farmer, or the guy who's scattering the seed, he does that and he goes to sleep. Get up in the morning and look, nothing. Go back to sleep, get up in the morning and look, nothing. And then one day, he's seeing all this green stuff in the field. And then suddenly you have a harvest. But it takes time. No farmer will sow corn January 1st, and then January 2nd, he get off a half a harvest. That's not the way it works. If you want mangoes, you have to wait until May. So the thing is that if once you are sowing your seeds and you know how long it takes, and we understand God, because God is a God of patterns, God is a God of consistency, so he acts consistently so we can follow him and understand what he's going to do. If God is a God that does things and not without a pattern, it will be really easy to follow him and to learn anything. So one of the elements of God is consistency. So you know how long it takes to produce apples, how long it takes to produce mangoes. And if it takes 3 months to produce mangoes, you can try it all you want. You have to wait 3 months. Hello? So we need to understand process, that God is a God of process. And when you understand that, now you go into situations knowing that it's going to take time. And then you wait on the Lord, and he will do what he has promised to do. Go sleep, get up after you believe, have faith, and God will show up and do something great. So now Jesus turns and says, let's talk about the leaven. And the transformation now that I want you to see how the kingdom of God works is from inside out, which means that now the leaven is inside of the inside of the bread, to create the bread, and now multiply the bread, and now people can eat the bread and multiply it, not only for one person but for many to eat. And when we understand that, it's the fact that we share the gospel with people and we don't know how it's working, but it's working. It's almost like raising children. You take them to school, you feed them, you clothe them, send them to school, and they are teenagers, and then you are wondering, are they going to do something? Are they going to turn into something or not? And then suddenly, they grew up, and they are 20, 25, doing great things, and now you want to claim them as your children. Right? Before that, you want to send them away. That's not mine. I don't know. He's not mine. You know, but after that, somehow, the kingdom of God, that's the way the kingdom works. Somehow, they are receiving, and somehow they are listening. And you don't even know they are listening, but they are listening. And they grew up and become these great people. And now you wonder, am I the parent? Did I do this? So that's the way the kingdom works. You share the gospel with people. Sometimes it looks like they are not receiving it. And then you walk away, and one day you meet the person again 3 months, 3 years after, and now they are serving the Lord, they are on fire, and they said to you, thank you because you shared the gospel with me. You say, wow, oh my God, right? That's the way the kingdom works. Other people are not that way. They don't share the gospel. They don't say anything. In fact, they behave in a way that is contrary to the gospel. They're friends, and they share with their friends and say jokes that are dairy jokes and all the stuff, and then one of the friends come to Christ, and when they come back to you saying, now I receive Jesus, now I believe, and then you say, hey, I'm also a Christian. He says, really? Are you? I didn't know that you were a Christian. Yes, I am. Okay, right? Because we behave in a way that we don't know, in whatever you are, in the school, in your work, in the marketplace, people have the seed of the gospel inside. And before you know it, one of them can come to Christ and start preaching the gospel. And there you are, not giving a testimony, and sometimes even worse, acting in a way that is not in alignment with the kingdom. And then they come to Christ, and they share the gospel with you, and now you feel uncomfortable, and now you say, well, be careful that. I remember when I was like that, and now, you know, be careful, don't speak too much, don't. Because the worst enemy of the gospel and the worst enemy of the kingdom is a person that wants to move with the kingdom. The worst enemy of a person that has the Holy Spirit is a person that once had a relationship with the Spirit. They are jealous now because your presence give them conviction. Because now you are on fire, now you are praying, now you want to serve, now you want to worship. And they used to be like that, and they look at you like, oh, go slow, okay, go slow. Church is not, blah, 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 blah. Trying to put water in the fire. to kill it. But guess what? The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. So we need to preach the gospel. We need to trust that God is going to do something great, that God is working, that he has written his law in our hearts. Like it's written in Jeremiah 31, I have written my law in your heart, so that doesn't matter what you do, the law in your heart will produce fruits. So God is so wise that he hide the kingdom, the seed of the kingdom, the leaven inside of you, so that wherever you go, if you fall, you get up. You fall, you get up. But you cannot lose it, because guess what? It's inside of you. So it doesn't matter how many times you fall, when you get up, it's still inside of you. You cannot shake out something that is inside of you when it's outside of you. Oh, this is the seed of the kingdom, the seed of the kingdom. I fall, I drop it. Now I lost it. You know what God does? He said, I'm going to open your mouth. It's inside of you. So it doesn't matter how many times you get up, you fall, you get up, you fall, you get up, you fall. It's inside of you. And Satan wants to convince you that you lost it. The reality is you didn't. It's inside of you, and the kingdom of God is inside of you. The Holy Spirit is in your heart, because the love of God has been poured out in your heart in such a way that the enemy cannot take it out. Doesn't matter what he says. Doesn't matter what your thoughts said. Doesn't matter what your neighbor said. Doesn't matter what your mama said. I'm telling you, this truth cannot leave you once it's inside of you. You are marked forever. And if you don't believe me, remember the days when you received the gospel and you went away. And you can be in the nightclub. Doing all of that, and everybody's dancing, and everybody's happy, and you know that you should not be there. Hello? You know you should not be there. Everybody's like laughing and laughing, ha ha ha, and you are ha ha too, but somehow you know you should not be there. Why? Because there is a voice inside of you that marks you forever. You know that God is real. So even though you are in places and you are having fun and jumping and swimming and doing things, you know you have a mark inside of you. You know you should not be doing that. You should not send in that text to that woman. You should not be watching and seeing this pornography picture. You should not be watching this Netflix series. You should not be drinking this beer. One beer, that's nothing. One beer is nothing. One word, one thing is nothing. Yes, it is. A small beginnings. Everything starts with one step. One step at a time. And then you become a harvest. No one's wake up in the morning saying, I'm an alcoholic. No one. No one get up in the morning and says, I'm addicted to pornography. No, it starts with one picture. One picture. Once a day, I have it under control. And then it's lunch and you are looking at it. And then you go to the bathroom in the afternoon and then you're looking at it. And then at night you wait at your children and your mom and everybody's in the bed and then you're looking at it. Why? Because I have it under control. You cannot control spiritual things. It will take you. It will take you. It will make you do things. At the beginning, you have control, because that's what the enemy wants you to believe. But there is a line. It's an invisible line. You don't know what it is. But after you do it one more time, there is no return. Now have to God himself deliver you, because you have no control and no power. Don't ask me how many times it takes. But I know that it's a line that once you pass it, after that day, after that minute, you don't have control anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's important that we understand that we need to pay attention to every action we take, that there is no such a thing as big things. You don't need to go and rob a bank to be called a thief. I remember I used to go to my friend's house and I see a little car, I like it, and wink, that's it. Put it in my pocket. Got home, my mom was, hey, that car, this is from my friend. Your friend? He gave it to you? No. Okay, let's go. With my little car. Sorry. Because for me to become a thief, do you know how many cars I need to steal? One. One. For you to be a gossiper, you know how many gossips you need to, how many things you need to say? Once. Once. It's one thing. One thing. How many people you need to kill to become a murderer? How many people? One. That's it. That's it. And that's what God is saying. Pay attention to the small beginnings, how we respond to the kingdom, that we are invited by God to respond in a positive way to the kingdom. Let's embrace the kingdom. Let's participate. Let's do what is good, not what is evil. Let's plant these seeds of faith, love, and service by allowing God to transform our hearts. Let's join him. Let's go out and present the gospel to other people. And when we do that, God himself is showing up through us, because love is contagious. The same way that anger is contagious. Boldness is contagious. The same way that fear is contagious. So we need to decide, are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to walk through us and flow through us and bring all this truth to us, and we're going to embrace it and share it with others with the hope that either you use the example of the mustard seed or the leaven, knowing that God is working always inside and outside. Now it's time to take all these truths that we have in 66 books and apply them. Because if we don't do that, then there's no point. So the first application is, start with one small act of faith this week in any area of your life. So do you believe this? Do you believe that God is calling us to be faithful? That's what he's calling us to do. Start with one small act of faith this week. In any area, business, family, your spiritual life, your social life. One action. Number two, create daily time for scripture reading and self-examination. Remember, the kingdom of God has come near. Now repent and believe in the gospel. So we have to be reflecting, examining our hearts, our mind, spend time with God. Share your faith with one person this week, no matter how small your words may feel. It's not your job to make converts. It's your job to open your mouth. That's it. Just say, what do you believe in? What do you believe about Jesus? Do you know that God is real? Just share the gospel with people, and then let it be. And pray that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to that person to come to Christ. Share your faith with one person this week. Volunteer in a ministry or help someone in need this week. So go out. We have many opportunities to serve with the youth ministry, with every ministry, with our first impression team. Go out to the community, serve in the community, find someone, something to do, find someone who needs help. And as you do that, the kingdom of God will be extended and growing. So the whole teaching, this is the summary of the whole teaching, that even though it feels like nothing is happening, the kingdom of God and the change is coming slowly, but it's irreversible. It's invisible, but it's irreversible. And trust God, he will transform us with the power of the kingdom of God and will continue advancing now and forever. So let's finish with this quote from San Agustin. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. So if you have faith, even though you don't see it, that faith will take you to this place where now you don't need to have faith anymore, because now you are seeing it. And when we understand that, God will bless us. Let's pray. We thank you for the assurance, oh God, Holy Father. Thank you for the assurance that your kingdom, though it begins small, will grow into something magnificent and unstoppable. Help us to be faithful in planting seeds of faith and to trust in your power, knowing that you will bring growth and transformation. Work within our hearts to make us more like Christ, and use us to spread your love and truth to those around us. Give us faith to believe in the unseen and the courage to join you in your kingdom work. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Church, if you're able, join us for a couple more minutes of worship. Go ahead and stand if you're able.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.